Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. The word of God is exactly what our hearts need this morning. Our thoughts are never so good as when they are filled with your words. Father, please meet with us as we consider your word, as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's table. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Those are familiar words from Psalm 103. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 103, verses 8 to 14. And as you're turning there to Psalm 103, verses 8 to 14, I want you to think with me, let me remind us what communion or the Lord's table is. It is a remembrance. It's a remembrance. It's a remembrance that Jesus instituted. He instituted an eating of bread and a drinking from a cup, a drinking of wine or juice in our case. And he instituted it for a specific group of people, his disciples, those who believe him, those who follow him. He instituted it for those who are indeed his body on earth, the church. And what is it that we are supposed to remember? Well, the bread helps us to remember his body sacrificed for us at the cross. And the juice helps us to remember his blood shed for us at the cross. You see, our safety before a holy God is completely, entirely, totally dependent, not on what you do or I can do, but on what Jesus did, on Jesus' death at the cross on our behalf. That's what we remember. And we, unfortunately, are not in the best condition yet that we will be. We're still in a condition that forgets. And so it's a remembrance. And it's remembering the most essential thing. And this remembrance is not for people, therefore, who just casually believe in a God. That indeed there is a God somewhere out there. It's not even for those who casually believe that Jesus is an important figure in human history, or that Jesus is a good man. You see, what the bread and the juice stand for is something so profound and so very specific. What you and I believe is something not casual. It's not something commonplace. It's profound. It's specific. And it's outlined in the gospel. It is salvation by grace, not by good deeds done. Salvation through the shed blood of a sacrifice who is none other than God himself. If that doesn't describe you this morning as one who believes that specifically, that Jesus' death was indeed all that and it was for your benefit, then this remembrance this morning is not yet for you. Or if you would say on the other side that your belief is more really just a casual belief, then this remembrance is not yet for you also. And so today your chief goal, if that is you, must be first and foremost to repent of that casual belief, to turn away from it and believe and entrust your life to some very specific truth about Jesus. Entrust your life to Jesus. And your chief importance this morning is to listen carefully to the Word of God and the good news that is in it concerning Jesus. So when the bread and the cup come by, just let it pass by, but listen very carefully to God's Word. And I want to use verses 8 through 14 in Psalm 103 to prepare our hearts. These are the words of a believer in God, a man who trusted God fully. He believed that God saves sinners who trust in God. He's a believer who understood that God saves sinners only through a substitute offered to God in the place of sinners, and his name was David. We are those who live a long time after the cross of Jesus, and David wrote a long time before the cross of Jesus. And as those who live long after the sacrifice of Jesus, we can fully appreciate what David wrote long before the sacrifice of Jesus. So let's allow these words to just shape our hearts and soften them as we prepare to eat the bread and drink the cup. Look at verse 8. The Lord is compassionate. Verse 8 is all about what God is, who God is toward those he saves. He's compassionate towards you, believer. He's merciful. He withholds from you what you deserve. And he did not show compassion towards his son at the cross for your sake. Verse 8, he is gracious. That means he gives to us what we do not deserve. And he gave to Jesus what we truly did deserve, his wrath. Verse 8, he is slow to anger. That means he is patient toward us. The very fact that we are sitting here this morning is proof positive of his patience. But he poured out his anger for our sin on his son at the cross. Verse 8, he is slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness, as we are the recipients of overflowing love. And his son was the recipient of eternal wrath in my place, in your place. So as you remember Jesus this morning, remember what God is for you. He is these things toward you. In verses 9 to 14, look what God has done for those he saves. Verse 9, he will not always strive with us. It means he does not contend with us. He doesn't contend with you this morning concerning your sins because he contended with his son at the cross concerning your sins. Nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not have an ounce, a drop of anger towards you because his son Jesus experienced his righteous anger in your place. Verse 10, he has not dealt with us according to our sins. He doesn't deal with you, believer, this morning according to your sins because he dealt with his son according to your sins. Nor has he rewarded us according to our iniquities. He hasn't repaid us for what we have done against him because he repaid his son for what we did against God. Verses 11 and 12, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. God has removed your transgressions from you. How do you measure immeasurable love? You measured it at the cross, where Jesus put an infinite distance between your sins and his Father. Verses 13 and 14. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame, like a father knows the frame of his son. And he is mindful that we are but dust. He has compassion towards you this morning, believer, like a father has compassion towards a son. We get treated like sons and daughters because his son was treated like the rebel that we are. And like a father knows his son and his daughter's frailty, he knows that you are frail in your obedience, and he knows that you are frail in your resolve to follow him. He knows that you are frail in your strength. He knows that your endurance falters. He has compassion for his children. And what you get to rest in this morning, believer, you get to rest in the fact that what Jesus did at the cross was not frail, but was forever for you. So with these words, prepare your heart, and when you are ready, take the cup and take the bread on your own, and I'll come back and we'll pray.